Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Thursday class, 28 August 2025, 3rd John.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 3rd John. You have to guess the chapter. 3rd John. In preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. The update from the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center. The Las Ventanas Heaven Special Lesson on Wednesday, August 27th, went very well with a group of seven ladies. Last week, Pastor Olson taught about the crown of righteousness and the crown of life. This week, he described the crown of glory, awarded to pastors who are faithful to study and teach Bible doctrine to their congregation. He also referred to several passages which describe Jesus as the bright morning star. Christ will award believers a uniform of glory that will be worn over their resurrection body. As stars differ from stars in splendor and glory, so the uniforms of believers in heaven will differ from individual to individual. Those with the brightest uniforms, those are the winner believers. They will be those who receive the ultimate decoration called the Order of the Morning Star. To God be the glory as He continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. And as always, your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. Third John. It's a little short letter, epistle. We don't even know where the church was. There's been a lot of conjecture, possibly Pergamum, but nobody knows. It's not included in the letter itself. We don't know where the church that Gaius was, or Diotrephes, who was the head of the board in the church. And while this is a very short letter, we have the epitome of contrast. In the first 8 verses, we have the best of the best. The best of the best. The greatest winner believer in this local church was Gaius. And he was just a layman. He was just a layman. He wasn't a deacon. He didn't have any spiritual authority. He was just a layman. But he was the best of the best. And the Apostle John spends 8 verses extolling this great winner believer, Gaius. And then he'll spend 3 verses talking about the worst of the worst. And that's Diotrephes. And he is the head of the board at this local church. He's the one with the spiritual authority in there, because right now there's no pastor teacher. He's the head of the board. And when the Apostle John had these letters sent, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Diotrephes said, no, they're not going to be taught in this local church. That was Diotrephes. He took authority. He had no humility, no respect for spiritual authority, no respect for the authority of the Apostle John. He had no respect for the authority of the Word of God. He had no respect for a communicator of the Word of God. He had no respect for God at all. He was the most arrogant person, but he had a great personality. Great personality. Everybody thought, isn't he a nice man? Hell no, he wasn't a nice man. He was a poop head. I almost said something else, but the dignity of the clergy, you know, I have to be careful. No, he was the worst of the worst. And he maligned, slandered, judged the Apostle John. He had the unbelievable gall to slander, malign, and judge the Apostle John. Communicator, spiritual authority to communicate and teach the Word of God. And he had the gall to slander him, malign him, and judge him. Well, verses 9 through 11, the Apostle John absolutely nails Diotrephes. Oh, he was very smart. He had a high human IQ. He thought he knew more than God did. He definitely thought he knew more than the Apostle John did. But he got nailed by the Apostle John in verses 9 through 11. So I hope that you stick around long enough to get to 9 through 11. The sparks will fly when we get to 9 through 11. But right now, we're with the best of the best. We got the worst of the worst coming up. We've exegeted the first 2 verses. And the Apostle John starts out with a term that describes the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And John has more than one spiritual gift. He has at least 2 spiritual gifts that we know of, apostleship and pastor-teacher. He uses the term presbyteros. And presbyteros is one of the terms for the spiritual gift of pastor-teacher. And it translated the old man. And the old man is the commander. The 4-star general, spiritual authority. And a pastor in a local church is a 4-star general. That's what a pastor is. Do you have respect for the authority, you military people? Respect for authority of a 4-star general? That's what a pastor teacher has. He has the authority of a 4-star general. And if you have any humility, you will respect that, respond to that, and move out. So he says, the old man, the commander, the presbyteros, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of, in these first four verses, we have this word used four times. Aletheia. 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 And that is the word for absolute truth. Absolute truth. Jesus Christ said that he is absolute truth. I am the way and the aletheia. I am the way and the absolute truth and the life. No one comes to heaven where the Father is except through faith in me. Jesus Christ is aletheia. And then he said in his prayer to the Father, Father, sanctify them by means of your aletheia. Your word is aletheia. The word of God is aletheia, absolute truth. And now the Apostle John, who totally, he was the apostle that the Lord absolutely loved. He loved the Apostle John. And when he was being crucified on the cross, he told John to take care of his mother, because John was the one he loved the most, because John totally had the humility to learn everything Jesus Christ was teaching. He learned it. He nailed it. He had the greatest humility. So we have this word four times in the first four verses. The old man, the commander, the presbyteros, to my dear friend Gaius, whom I love with virtue love, in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth. Dear friend, I pray that you may succeed and prosper in everything and be in good health, just as your soul is succeeding and prospering. Gaius is a winner believer. Spiritually mature believer, he has been enjoying the entire greater grace blessing package. The believer who attains spiritual maturity is classified as a winner believer, Hanukkah believer. Gaius is a winner believer who glorifies God to the maximum. Gaius is an invisible hero who has the greatest maximum impact in human history. And as a spiritually mature believer, Gaius is blessed with the entire greater grace blessing package. He has the whole thing. And that greater grace blessing package is made up of nine categories, and Gaius has them all. Spiritual blessings, temporal blessings, suffering for blessing, the personal impact of the invisible hero, the national impact of the invisible hero, the international impact of the invisible hero, the angelic impact of the invisible hero, the heritage impact of the invisible hero, the dying blessing, dying grace awarded to the invisible hero. Gaius has them all. In this church, we don't know exactly where it's at. He is the best of the best in that local church. And he's just a layman. He has no spiritual authority at this time. But after 3 John has been presented, why, Diotrephes was booted out, and Gaius became the head of the board. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yeah. All right. Now, verse 3. We keep on keeping on with the winner believer, Gaius. So John writes, "For I rejoiced greatly." Post-positive conjunction gar plus the aorist passive indicative of Cairo plus the adverb leon. The post-positive conjunction gar looks like this, G-A-R, gar. Post-positive conjunction gar is the illative use of gar. And the illative introduces a reason and is correctly translated for. And then we have the verb Cairo. And it's not in Egypt either. C-H-A-I-R long O. Cairo. Couple of things on this verb Cairo. Cairo means to rejoice. It's often translated to rejoice or to be glad. Two, Cairo refers specifically here to plus H, having the inner happiness of plus H. This is only awarded to the winner believer. Plus H. When you attain spiritual maturity, when you have virtue, love brought to completion in your heart, you attain occupation with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ at that point makes himself at home in your heart. And in your heart, you don't realize that you've got a nice fireplace there in your heart. Easy chairs. Jesus Christ is sitting back in his easy chair. You're sitting back in yours. The fireplace is burning. And you're enjoying one another. You're enjoying the Lord Jesus Christ moment by moment and day by day. That's the winner believer. Not the loser believer, not the carnal reversionistic believer, not even the baby believer or the adolescent believer. Only the winner believer who has attained, have virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He has Jesus Christ, makes himself at home in his heart. And what is the other side of the coin of that? Plus H. Happiness. You share the happiness of God. You have that happiness of God, and that is with you 24/7. 24/7, the happiness of God. No matter what's going on in your life, whether you're sick or whether you're healthy, no matter whether you're having suffering or prosperity, adversity or prosperity, it makes no difference what's going on in your life. You have plus H, 24/7. And it's a spectrum. It's a spectrum. And that means no matter what is going on in your life, and everybody in here has something, and we have the non-face-to-face congregation, as well as the face-to-face congregation, and there's something going on in every one of your lives. But when you have plus H, no matter what it is that's going on in your life, you have, first of all, tranquility of soul. Tranquility. You have contentment. Totally content. So your soul is at ease. You're not worried about a damn thing. With plus H, you don't worry about anything. You're not afraid of anything. You have this fantastic tranquility in your soul, no matter what's going on in your life. And that's something you carry with you 24/7. So Cairo means to have inner happiness, plus age. 3, Cairo is the other side of the coin of occupation with Jesus Christ. When you get to that point in your spiritual life where you love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, then that's when you have plus age with you 24/7. 24/7. I don't care if you're in the dying phase of your life or you're in the living phase of your life. I don't care if you have all kinds of health problems or if you are in perfect health. You have this self-contained happiness with you 24/7. That's what's so fantastic. That's what the Apostle John is saying here. 4, virtue love enables you to have great inner happiness of soul. Even when you are going through great pain or adversity, virtue love enables you to have great inner happiness of soul. Even when you're going through great pain or adversity or suffering. And then we just don't have Cairo by itself here. 5, we have with it the adverb leon. Cairo leon, L-I-A. Oop, boy, that's a bad looking N. Leon. And leon means exceedingly, exceedingly happy. He just doesn't say happy. Leon, Cairo, exceedingly happy. The Apostle John is exceedingly happy. Is everybody happy? Are you exceedingly happy? Well, if you're not, you ought to be. There's no reason why all of you aren't enjoying the happiness of God. There's no reason. And if you're not, it's your own damn fault. All you have to do is have enough positive volition and humility to get under the spiritual authority of the teaching of the Word of God and grow up spiritually. Put spiritual priorities number one. Number one. Spiritual priorities. God and His Word. Number one. Not everything else. Not people, not family, not, oh, you name it, social life, not money, not, oh, you name it. We put everything ahead of God and the Word of God. If you ever get your head out of your patoot, and put God and His Word number one. Well, then this is something you will have exceeding happiness. 24/7. 24/7. That's what God wants you to have. That's what He wants all of you to have. Exceeding happiness, 24/7. So the adverb leon means exceedingly. 6, the Apostle John is exceedingly happy when he heard that Gaius was walking in aletheia, absolute truth of the Word of God. Oh, that's what every communicator of the Word of God, when he hears that about believers, I tell you, that's the best of the best for a communicator. To hear that another believer is walking in aletheia, walking, they're living their life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. When a pastor hears that, it doesn't get any better than that for the pastor. He studies and teaches, but that doesn't mean the people assemble in humility and positive volition consistently and faithfully and learn it and believe it. A lot of them are just hearers of the word. They're hearers of the word. James 1, 23 and 24. But they're not doers of the word because they don't believe it. Pastor Olson, I know what you're saying, Pastor Olson. I don't believe that. Well, fine. I'm not here to make you believe anything. But if you don't believe it, you have no spiritual momentum, no spiritual growth, and you will never grow up and glorify God. Never! The only way you can do that is to believe the absolute truth. When you believe it, it goes into the cardia. And the cardia has a stream of consciousness. And that epinosis doctrine now is circulating through that stream of consciousness. And you are thinking that epinosis doctrine moment by moment, day by day. And that enables you, through the filling of the Spirit, to apply that skillfully and accurately to every situation in your life. So the Apostle John is exceedingly happy when he heard that Gaius, and this is layman Gaius, he has no spiritual authority in this church. He's just a layman in the church. When he heard that Gaius was walking in aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. 7. Now the Apostle John had great inner happiness before the brethren came and gave the great report that Gaius was walking in aletheia. But now John is exceedingly happy after their report. So John had a great inner happiness before the brethren came and gave this fantastic report that Gaius was walking in aletheia, absolute truth. But now John is Leon Cairo, exceedingly happy after their report. So the correct translation says, for I was exceedingly happy when the brethren, these aren't the Plymouth brethren, this is believers that are in this church and believers that had been to this church. Some of them were missionaries and they have come by to see John. When the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. We have the genitive plural of the noun adelphos, plus the genitive plural of the present middle participle erchomai, plus the conjunction chi with the genitive plural of the present active participle martureo, plus the dative singular of aletheia. Once again, we're going to have a four times here with the definite article. Plus the dative singular of the personal pronoun, su. Now, you heard me say a lot of genitives there. Genitive plural of the noun, adelphos. Genitive plural of the present middle participle, erchomai. What do we have here? I'm glad you asked. We have here, hold on now. I want you to pass out on me. This is a genitive absolute. No way. This is a genitive absolute. And the genitive absolute is one form of a circumstantial participle. The genitive absolute simply brings in someone not already found in the sentence that serves as the subject of this circumstantial participle. The genitive absolute is used to put the spotlight on the brethren here. The brethren. The genitive plural of adelphos means brethren, fellow believers. These are members of the royal family of God. Technical term for the royal family of God in the church age. The spotlight is on These number members of the royal family of God. The genitive absolute is circumstantial participle of time. The participle is erkomai, which is the verb that means to come. Erkomai, erkomai. It can mean to come or to go. Here it means to come. And the temporal circumstantial participle of erkomai combined, which is in the genitive, in the genitive absolute, along with the genitive plural of adelphos, you correctly translate it this way. When the brethren, when the fellow members of the royal family of God came, when the brethren, the fellow members of the royal family of God came, conjunction chi is connective chi, means and then what did these fellow members of the royal family of God, when they came to the Apostle John's church, they came and they gave a report to the Apostle John, and it just made the Apostle John's day, absolutely made his day, to hear about this great believer, Gaius, the verb they martureoed. MARTUREO. Martureo. Now, martureo means literally to bear witness or to be a witness in a court of law, to testify. It's a legal technical term, to testify in a court of law. But it also can mean to speak well of someone, to testify favorably about someone, to approve someone. And here we have with that, following martyreo, su te aletheia. This is what the report they gave. Su te, that's the dative, aletheia. That's the personal pronoun, su, of your, of Gaius, yours, Gaius. Su, this is the dative of the definite article, and then the dative of aletheia once again. Su te aletheia. They testified about your absolute truth. The believer Gaius was living in a state. He was a spiritually mature winner believer. He was living in that fantastic state of absolute truth. That what a great thing about being a winner believer. You live in the status of absolute truth. So, su te aletheia, to your truth, to the absolute truth of the Word of God that's in your soul, Gaius. They testified about that. The absolute truth of the Word of God in your soul. You living the spiritual life by the absolute truth of the Word of God. They gave this fantastic report to the Apostle John. So correct the translation. For I was exceedingly happy when fellow believers, royal family of God, came and bore witness to your aletheia, to your absolute truth, to the absolute truth of the Word of God in your soul. You were living in the state, you're living in the status of absolute truth. And then he goes on and says, even as thou walkest in the truth. And this is the adverb kathos, plus the personal pronoun su, plus the present active indicative of peripateo, plus the prepositional phrase, and again, and plus the dative of aletheia. Now, Arndt and Gingrich, the Greek lexicon on page 392, tells us that after verbs of communication like martyreo, to testify, to witness, that kathos after those kind of verbs introduces indirect discourse. Indirect discourse, and it should be correctly translated, namely, how. So this kathos should be correctly translated, namely, how. And then the personal pronoun su, you, and you is Gaius again. And how, namely, how you, Gaius, are walking, peripateo. Now, peripateo, literally it means to walk, but they didn't give a great report about how he was physically walking. If anybody gave a literal report about how Pastor Olson is walking, that would be a sad report right there. Everybody that I know, everyone in this church, walks a hell of a lot better than I walk, or maybe a heaven of a lot better, but I barely walk. I barely walk, and I need to have something, I suppose, done, but you know what? I don't want to miss one class. It doesn't seem to bother many of you to miss 1, 10, 30, 60, 90, but it does me. It does me. You know, we had a believer in here, Doc Webb. His picture's out there. Doc Webb was here every single day for class. Every single day. And he had health problems. He had heart problems. He went to my doctor, Dr. Ruggieroli, as well. And when he went in to see Dr. Ruggieroli, and I heard this from Dr. Ruggieroli and Doc Webb, he told the doc, the greatest restaurant in Las Vegas, the greatest restaurant in Las Vegas is Upland Bible Church. The number one restaurant in Las Vegas is Upland Bible Church. That's where you get a great meal, the greatest meal you will ever get. You'll be fed the meal of the Word of God. And when I go in and see Dr. Ruggieroli, he says, "Why, you got some unique people in your church." I said, "Well, yeah. They are unique, all right." Well, here's old Doc Webb, and he says, "The best restaurant in Las Vegas is your church. You get the best meal at Upland Bible Church than anywhere else." Well, I want to keep feeding you. Some of you don't give a damn whether you're here to eat it or not. That's up to you. But I am here to feed the ones who want it. Not the ones who don't, but the ones who do want it. And I have a face-to-face congregation, and the non-face-to-face congregation is way, way bigger than the face-to-face congregation. And as long as they want the feeding of the Word of God, I don't want to short sheet them. You ever know what short sheeting is? That's something out of college, and in my dorm, a fella short-sheeted my bed. And I came in, I couldn't, it's only 3 feet long. Plus, he also poured Carol syrup all down in there. And when he came in, I came out with my leg covered with Carol syrup and went over and pulled his covers back and bounced up and down on his bed with my Carol syrup legs. I said, oh, you don't want to go this way. You don't want to go here. And I know who put him up to it. It was Ellen Kelso. She's the one that put, and Ellen was the best of the best. But she was always pulling pranks, and this was the prank. And she had my roommate pull this prank. I said, don't get in cahoots with Ellen Kelso. You don't want to do that. Well, the next day, I went out to the Kelsos. Ellen came out. Hi, what are you doing? I said, I'm just getting up cow manure. Oh, what for? Oh, just, there's a friend of mine. I just want to give him a gift. So I took the cow manure and went back, and my roommate, I pulled back his sheets or covers, poured in the, and in the spring, the cow manure is real runny. Poured it out in the sheets, and then pulled it up, and he was out with his date, and he came back and just, oh, he was just so happy. And he says, oh, good night, Dick. I said, good night. And he shoots his leg down in there, and then his legs are going around and around and around. What is that? And I said, that is cow manure from Kelso's. But you know what? He stopped doing the pranks. The pranks were over. It was 1-1, but I think I scored a home run with mine. So, peripateo means literally to walk around. Figuratively, it's the walk of life. And this is how peripateo is used in our verse. It's correctly translated to live or to conduct oneself. 3, the state in which one lives or ought to live is designated by the preposition en. En means in the sphere of, and then 4, en aletheia, in the sphere of absolute truth of the Word of God. That's how Gaius was living his life, in the sphere of the absolute truth of the Word of God. How can you say anything greater about a believer than that? He's living his life in the sphere of the absolute truth of the Word of God. The present tense, linear action start. You keep on walking. You keep on living your life in the absolute truth of the Word of God. The active voice, Gaius, as a spiritually mature believer, performs the action of the verb. The indicative mood is declarative. This is reality, certainty, fact in the life of Gaius. So, corrected translation of verse 3. For I was exceedingly happy. This is the Apostle John's exceeding happiness. When fellow believers, royal family of God, came and bore witness, they testified to your aletheia, absolute truth. Namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, keep on living your life in the sphere of absolute truth of the Word of God. I mean, that for a communicator of the Word of God, I don't care if it's the apostle or pastor, whoever, that's the greatest report you can ever hear about your congregation. The best report ever, right there. So one, the Apostle John states that he has received a great report from certain members of the royal family of God concerning Gaius. The Apostle John states that he has received a great report from certain members of the royal family of God concerning Gaius. Two, they reported that Gaius is living his life consistently in the sphere of absolute truth of the Word of God. They reported that Gaius is living his life consistently in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Three, specifically, they testified to the fact that Gaius was a believer in whom the absolute truth of the Word of God was a dynamic force. A dynamic force in his life. Specifically, they testified to the fact that Gaius was a believer in whom the absolute truth of the Word of God was a dynamic force in his life. Four, its power and effectiveness in Gaius was evidenced by the fact that he walked in the sphere of aletheia, absolute truth of God's Word. Its power and effectiveness in Gaius was evidenced by the fact that he walked in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Five, Gaius knew that he had a spiritual authority, and that spiritual authority was, first of all, Jesus Christ, because the Word of God is the mind of Christ, and that spiritual authority included the Apostle John, and he was had 100% humility, respect for the authority of Jesus Christ and the mind of Christ, the Word of God, and the spiritual authority of the Apostle John as the communicator of the Word of God. And therefore, Gaius obeyed the mandates of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Word of God is the mind of Christ. It's the mind of Christ. He's the spiritual authority. When you reject the Word of God, you're rejecting the spiritual authority of Jesus Christ himself. Gaius obeyed the mandates of the mind of Christ, spiritual authority. Six, if Gaius walked in the sphere of aletheia, and he did. If Gaius walked in the sphere of aletheia, and he did, it was precisely because he had maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. It was precisely because he had maximum metabolized doctrine in his heart. Seven, Gaius' walk, his spiritual walk, living the spiritual life was a result. It was a result, it was a manifestation of the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in his heart. It was a result, a manifestation of the aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God in his heart. So verse 3, for I was exceedingly happy when fellow believers, royal family of God, came and bore witness to your aletheia, absolute truth. Namely, how you, Gaius, keep on walking, keep on living your life in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. Now, for a communicator of the Word, I don't care, there are no apostles today. The last apostle was John. And after Revelation was completed, there are no apostles since John. Today, the highest spiritual authority is the pastor teacher. But I don't care if you were an apostle in John's day or a pastor teacher today. This is the greatest report you could ever get about people, your congregation. The best thing ever. Now that brings us to verse 4. John just keeps on. I have no greater joy. This is the present active indicative of echo with the objective negative uk, plus the accusative singular of kara with the accusative singular of the comparative of the adjective megas, plus the genitive plural of the demonstrative pronoun houtos. Now, echo is the verb, you've heard this many times, to have and to hold, or to possess something. But we have with it the objective negative ook, and the objective negative slams the door. I absolutely have no greater what? No greater kara. I absolutely have no greater kara. I absolutely have no greater kara. And kara is the Greek word happiness. Now, we have a comparative form of an adjective. The adjective is megas, M-E-G-A-S. That's the adjective in the positive form. There's positive, comparative, and superlative. Megas in the positive means large or great, but we don't have the positive form. We have the comparative form of megas, and the comparative form is mezoteros. That's what we have. And that's M-E-I-Z-O-T-E-R-O-S. The comparative, mezoteros. And mezoteros means greater. It means greater. And then the plural of the demonstrative pronoun houtos, these things. And these things are all these fantastic and wonderful reports that the Apostle John heard from these fellow believers. So he says, I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. These fantastic, wonderful reports from these fellow believers. I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. Than to hear that my children walk in truth. For a communicator of the Word of God, that's the best of the best. That's the best of the best right here. And I totally, I, it's, You got a fantastic Apostle John. And by the way, he was the one that the Lord loved the most. And he now is communicating the Word of God. And when he sees members of his congregation with the most absolute positive volition and humility, the greatest respect for his authority as a communicator of the Word of God. They're there listening day after day after day after day, consistently, faithfully, learning, believing the Word of God, advancing to spiritual maturity, have virtue, love brought to completion in their hearts. And now they're walking in the absolute truth of the Word of God. It doesn't get any better for a communicator of the Word of God. It doesn't get any better for a pastor than that. I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things than to hear that my children walk in truth. Here we have aletheia again. We have the conjunction hina plus the present active indicative of akouo plus the plural of the noun technon with the definite article plus the plural of the possessive pronoun amos plus the present active participle peripateo repeated again plus the prepositional phrase, and we have it again, en plus the dative of aletheia with the definite article. Now we have hina. And I know, you are going to go, I know, hina, I know. It introduces a purpose clause. Yeah, many times it does. But no, it doesn't here. No, you flunk. Okay. Hina, oftentimes, hina is used to introduce a purpose clause. However, many times the purpose meaning is greatly weakened or disappears altogether, as in our verse, verse 4. Arnton Gingrich, the Greek Lexicon, page 378, tells us that hina takes the place of the explanatory infinitive. Here, hina takes the place of the explanatory infinitive after the demonstrative pronoun houtos, and that's exactly what we have in this verse. This is a favorite usage of the Apostle John, and is correctly translated, that is, to keep on hearing. That is, to keep on hearing. And that hearing, well, that's our verb akouo. A-K-O-U, long O, akouo. And akouo is literally used for the sense of hearing and perception. It's used as a legal technical term to give someone a hearing in a court of law. It also means to hear something from someone, to learn or be informed about someone. The present tense is linear action start. I keep on hearing. I keep on learning and being informed about. The active voice, the Apostle John, keeps on getting great reports. He keeps on getting great reports from the believers in Gaia's congregation. The indicative mood is declarative. This is certainty, reality, fact. And then we have the term technon. Great term, by the way. Technon. T-E-K-N-O-N. Now, it's a great term. And literally, it refers to a child in relation to a father or a mother. But not here. These are not the Apostle John's physical children. This is his congregation. And technon, figuratively, is used for the spiritual child. The spiritual child in relation to, well, in the case of John, a spiritual child in relation to his apostle, a spiritual child in relation to his pastor, a spiritual child in relation to a teacher. And therefore, it refers to members of a local church, members of a congregation. And the best way to translate is not children, but students. Students. And there are doctrinal groups that have got a hold of this term, and they've even named there's a Technon Bible Church. They named their local church Technon Bible Church, where the believers assemble as students to learn the Word of God. So that's how it's used here. So it refers to members of a congregation of a local church. These are members of the Apostle John's congregation. He is the presbyteros communicating these doctrines. And therefore, they are now growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. They have attained spiritual maturity. They are walking in the sphere of the absolute truth of the Word of God. And then we have peripateo repeated. They are walking the walk of life. They are living the spiritual life. These believers have maximum metabolized doctrine in their hearts, and therefore they are living the spiritual life in the sphere of the absolute truth of the Word of God. And the prepositional phrase again, en plus the dative, in the sphere of aletheia, the absolute truth of the Word of God. I absolutely have no greater happiness than these things. That is to keep on hearing that my students, my congregation, keep on walking, keep on living the spiritual life in the sphere of the absolute truth of the Word of God. That's as the best of the best for a communicator of God's Word. So, how great is that? Like I said, the first 8 verses, we have the best of the best. The next 3 verses, we have the worst of the worst. But we're in the best of the best. We'll pick it up at this point next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.